You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Council Future Development Strategy went out for consultation last weekend. Alex Bonham spoke to Councillor Angela Dalton, the Deputy Chair of the Planning, Environment and Parks Committee, about how the proposed Compact Cities Strategy will mitigate the impacts of climate change, ensure there is enough food to eat, and mean more housing in place for people who want to live in Auckland.
What is the future development strategy?
As our population grows, and it's expected to grow by 500,000 people by 2030, we need to think about where people will be housed. The future development strategy is a 30-year plan that we look at every 3 years just to check in to make sure that we're still on track. We've faced some significant challenges in the past 3 years, so we've changed the focus to put a climate lens on the future development strategy that is out for consultation now.
What are you proposing exactly?
We're proposing that we will have more intensified housing within the urban limits. So over the past several years, we have been building in greenfields, which are a long way away from public transport, from education, from shopping centres. So people are having to hop in their car and drive to wherever they need to go. And this is putting increasing pressure on our roads, but also is not helping with reducing our emissions. We're going to bring housing back in within our urban limits. We also have had experienced some horrendous flooding. We need to make sure that we are only building in areas that are safe.
Could you give a bit of a sense of how large the urban limit is to the north and the south?
If we look at Takanini, it's going right out to the Mill Road area. In the south, we've been pushing down to just before Drury. And in the north, it's been enabling housing in areas that are just so far away from shops, public transport, Huapai, Riverhead, and further up in Albany as well. We need to bring our housing back into around the town centres and the city centres where there is existing public transport so people can work where they live, play where they live, socialise where they live. We need to build a resilient public transport system, and this is an important part of it as well. Ultimately, what we want to see is more green space, more people cycling and walking. This should be normalised in the City of Auckland.
It's sometimes argued that if people were allowed to build anywhere, it would reduce the cost of housing. Could you tell me a bit about the hidden costs of a sprawling city?
What happens when we sprawl is that we need to provide wastewater and stormwater, all of the services that are required for a housing development to operate. Developer may put in the roads, but Auckland Transport will need to take over responsibility and renewals for those roads, for connecting roads. And these are sometimes out of sequence. And there isn't a funding model that exists that helps support building that infrastructure. It is more economically viable for us to build within existing areas where those services exist. We need to also be providing the community facilities once we do start intensifying in some of our older suburban areas, and that the infrastructure there can stand more people using it, such as sewage and stormwater. It is cheaper to do that than to put new infrastructure in greenfields areas. This makes it more affordable to provide more housing more quickly.
What investment is Council putting into improving infrastructure within the existing city?
The City Rail Link, that's $1.5 billion for that particular project. We're doing the Central Interceptor, which is going to stop all of those stormwater flows around the isthmus, and that is a multi-billion-dollar project. Our budget for Auckland Transport continues to be in the billions to provide infrastructure. We just need to make sure when we do the regional land transport plan and the long-term plan that that money is focused on emission reduction. We've got to get away from building more roads. We've got to provide more public transport, more bus lanes, more safe cycle lanes. The capital program that is budgeted for all of council for this year is about $40 billion. And then we have renewals in that space, which is part of our $40 billion OPEX. So there's big money going in there. Also remembering central government, if we get our projects right, we can get 51% funding from them. So if we're really clever about it, we can get more bang for our buck if we are aligning our projects correctly in transport.
So you can confirm that Auckland Council is still committed to the transport emission reduction plan?
Auckland Transport's letter of expectation, we have said to them that they need to get a plan to implement this. So we are now in the throes of hearing back from Auckland Transport on how they're going to implement it. And we have a robust discussion coming up over the regional land transport planning, the next 10-year plan, as to what that plan looks like to ensure that it is implementing the transport emission reduction plan.
I noticed there was an advocacy group called Future Auckland leading a petition against the proposal. Who are they?
I just read about that this morning myself in the New Zealand Herald, and they look to me to be developers who have come together who are saying that we are not developing enough on the greenfields, or actually they're saying we're removing greenfield developments. So we actually have future urban greenfield capacity for 137,000 homes. Of that, 40,000 are already live zoned. And remembering that Auckland in the unitary plan is over capacity for the number of houses that it requires to 2050. So it's not that we're short on homes or the ability to build homes. We've got plenty of capacity, even with restricting some of the greenfield areas. It just might not be in the places where the developers would like them.
Only 5.5% of soil in New Zealand is considered to be of high quality and good for creating nutritious food. And much of that soil is in the South Auckland area. How does this strategy protect areas that are good for food production?
It does protect it more than the current plan that is in place. So, yes, making sure that we're looking after our productive soils, particularly at the Pohokohe area and around outside Paramahoe, they are protected from growth. We have had plan changes coming through in the past few years that do challenge that space. But there was a decision made by the Environment Court that Auckland is not going to have the capacity, if they continue to build on productive soils, to be able to feed our people. Our food basket will diminish.
How should people submit on the plan?
If they can do it on the website, AK Have Your Say. That's a site where we have all of our consultation documents. And this one is called the Future Development Strategy. AK Have Your Say. It's an easy form. Questions are pretty good around focusing growth, accessible local centres, avoiding hazards, and this is around our flooding and coastal erosion and sea level rising. The answers are agree, disagree. Tell us why. We've only got a few young people around the council.
What is the future development strategy?
Well, table. So please do go on there and submit.
That was Auckland Councillor Angela Dalton, Deputy Chair of the Planning, Environment and Parks Committee, speaking to producer Alex Bonham.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.